This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
All right, welcome back to Valk's Valley. We're live streaming here for this episode. Brian is back from his vacation. Where were you again? Wyoming?
I was in like Denver, Loveland, Colorado, and then ended up in Cody, Wyoming for a wedding.
How was the wedding?
Really cool. Really cool. Lots of beautiful sights. Like the place they got married is just like so many like beautiful mountains, and happy to be back. It was cool to be, but you know, I just mosquitoes love me. They absolutely love me. And so last time we went, I learned my lesson and had to mosquito spray up. So this time around I mosquito sprayed up, but I forgot to do my head, and then they just went nuts on my neck, and I was like, oh my god, mosquitoes are the worst. So I'm happy to be away from mosquitoes, and I'm happy to be in a place with can't lie, I just like a city. I like a city. I like being able to have stuff near me and walk around, whereas having to go 40 minutes to get to your nearest grocery store. But I see the appeal. I see the appeal of having just land and, you know, just space and you know, not having to worry about really anything but the people you're close with. So I got respect for I got newfound respect for the area, I guess, but happy to be back here.
See any wild animals?
Oh, so many. I should show you some of the photos, but we went to the Colorado Rockies National Park, because when we went last year, we went to the Yellowstone and the Tetons, which are like two of the, you know, Yellowstone is like the second most popular, probably behind Yosemite. And you might even say Yellowstone's number one. Mm-hmm. So we got to knock out Yellowstone and the Grand Tetons last year, and awesome photos, saw a lot of wildlife. But this year we hit the Colorado Rockies National Park and saw like this big old elk on the way out. Like we saw nothing the whole time, and then on the way out, just big old elk that I got a really close photo of course, without getting too close, but in a car. Man, it's really cool. It's really cool stuff.
So did you see any giant eggs that look to be hatching sometime on August the 11th?
Yeah, no big violet eggs, I'd say, in nature that I was able to see.
So we'll talk about that in a second. But is it binoculars night or something at Ballhalla is, and people think it's a mascot or mascot related possibly?
I think it's damn near confirmed that it's the mascot, because I don't know if you remember, like that link was getting shared around earlier in the season. It was a LinkedIn job posting for a Valkyries mascot that we haven't seen a mascot that. So I guess that job was never filled, but they were paying pretty well. That's why it was kind of like shared around, is because like, whoa, you can make like $100,000 for doing this mascot thing. But yeah, so I'd say that this seems pretty likely that that's what the mascot's going to be. I find it weird, you know, with the Valkyries and the Norse mythology or whatever, like that it's going to be a bird. So I guess we'll have to see if like a human type of mascot appears from this egg, or if it's an actual bird.
You're probably too young to remember this, but do you remember Golden State Warriors' mascot, Thunder?
Thunder.
I wonder if they can just bring back Thunder and put like some wings on them.
It's because they got rid of him because of the OKC Thunder, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
The mascot has to be female as well. So it can't actually be Thunder, but yeah. Okay. Before we get to, I want to share some comments from YouTube from our last show. Cause you've missed two shows. I did one show with Conrado, who was awesome. And then I did a solo show after the dream game, but then I don't like doing the solo stuff because it's just like recaps and I was going to wait for you to get back. But in that solo show, I asked for some feedback around if some folks think the Valkyries are going to make the playoffs. By the way, shout out to Rob and Valky Hoops in the chat. So there was a few comments and I wanted to read them really quickly. I said I would read them. So YouTube user at KURI-U4E said, I'd be happy if the Valks made the seventh or eighth spot. Playoff home games at Valhalla would be insane. Wants them to make the playoffs there. From Grandma Mo, we are getting in the playoffs, sixth or seventh, which, a week later, doesn't seem as likely, but they're still in the mix if somehow Las Vegas can fall out a little bit. And then from Costa says, I was hoping the Valkyries drop out of the top eight. To be honest, they aren't winning around. The team is deeply flawed with the lack of crunch time scoring and 3-point shooting overall. Get a top lottery pick and keep building for 2 to 3 years down the road. And that should be the goal. So, okay, we're going to circle back because I want to get your thoughts on that before we even talk about some of the stuff that has happened. And we'll talk about the trade deadline or the lack of information around the trade deadline. Nothing really too interesting. So we're going to make one adjustment, and this is mostly for the podcast feed, folks. If you're watching live on YouTube, this doesn't really affect our YouTube channel. But one of the things that I think is kind of hard is when the Warriors and the Valkyries are kind of in season or near each other, or there's news related to both teams, trying to record two separate episodes and post them separately isn't efficient and timely. So on the podcast side only, we're going to combine the two shows together and we'll call it something like Golden State Hoops or Golden State Hoop. And just for those, for that audio feed, we'll do a Valkyrie segment and a Warriors segment for pretty much every show. Thankfully for us right now, like there's literally no Warriors news. It's all based on Jonathan Kuminga and everything is just conjecture. So we haven't even had to record an episode of the death lineup. But let's say that the Warriors, there's news around the Warriors and there's news around the Valkyries. We're going to combine that into one podcast specifically about Golden State basketball. And we'll have the segments on YouTube. We'll still split everything up as Valks Valley and the death lineup. If we live stream, it will live stream as Golden State Hoop, but you know, so much like the podcast, but I'll still split up the segments in Valkyries and Warriors and post those after the fact. So this is mostly just going to affect the podcast channel, but it's just going to be a little bit of a branding thing just for my own process of trying to get these up in a timely manner. That is just going to be one adjustment. And I don't even know that that's going to happen anytime soon. I'm still looking for people to do designs and such. So if you do graphics, hit me up, gg@bspnmedia.com. All right. That is over and done with. I just wanted to get that out there. So, Brian, let's talk about it. Right now, the Valkyries sit in the eighth slot in the playoff race. The Sparks are right behind them, and the Sparks have been on fire. I think they've won 8 out of their last 10. If you were to make a prediction today, right now, right this very moment with 15 games left, do the Valkyries hang on to that spot, or do the Sparks leapfrog over them and get that 8 spot?
I'd probably say that LA takes it. They've kind of been going on. I think they're 8-2 in their last 10. Mm-hmm. Cam Brink, of course, has come back. So I feel like all things are pointing towards an upward trajectory from them. Whereas, you know, the Valkyries are 4-6 in their last 10, have lost Kayla Thornton, who was our first half MVP. And I know this team isn't really like, they kind of have like a next woman up mentality. Whereas, you know, losing Kayla Thornton, who's your first half MVP, isn't as detrimental as, say, the Vegas Aces losing Asia, even though it's the best player to best player comparison. But we all know that, you know, the Valkyries kind of have this everybody eats, whereas,
right,
you know, they're not really built around one player. So I feel like I was very worried about Kayla Thornton going down, and I think there is genuine worry about how the team's going to look, but, you know, the team wasn't built around her, so they're kind of able to maybe still be solid while she's gone. But I think that, you know, they kind of haven't really found a replacement for her. I wasn't on the podcast, but I would have shared my thoughts when you and Conrado were doing your thing, mm-hmm. of like, you think about Veronica Burton, right? I think Veronica Burton is like the unsung hero of the season, just being like available every single game. So I don't mean to take anything away from her, because I'm not going to, but you think of, you know, what they like in Caitlin Chen kind of resembles a little bit of what they like in Veronica, where it's like, you kind of trust the ball in their hands that they're going to make the right decision. Maybe, you know, you don't expect high points per game, or you don't expect them to take over, but like, you just maybe don't expect them to do bad. Mm-hmm. So like, if you think of Veronica, she's a starter. Okay, well, they kind of like Caitlin Chen to replicate some of the Veronica stuff. So if Veronica went down, you know, you kind of have the Carla and Caitlin Chen to mix it up in there while she's gone. And then from, you know, the Temi spot, well, now they have Rupert. They had Monique before she went down. They had Leticia Mihir. Like, you could see how the replacement can fit with Temi. And then, you know, with Janelle, like, you have Chechi right there, even though now Xander Lassini's starting. But with with Kayla, they don't have another wing who can defend like her.
Mm-hmm.
They have no real replacement for Kayla Thornton, in my opinion, when it comes to just the versatility on defense. And I know that's kind of what I expected from Janelle. And I just don't think Janelle is the level of perimeter defender that Kayla showed to be this season. Like, it was like elite first team all W defense stuff from Kayla, where it's just like, you put Kayla on someone, you feel good about it.
Yep.
You know? And the first game that she's gone, you have Chechi starting at the small forward position, and she has to guard Paige. I don't remember what Paige's stats look like. But you just don't feel good about that, as you did with Kayla. Right. And so I just see this, even though, you know, it's not, the team wasn't built around Kayla, I just see her loss being of more importance than, you know, if any of those other starters went down, just because they don't really have a replacement of hers that they're maybe as comfortable as, say, if Janelle or was missing. And we saw Janelle went to Eurobasket and they were fine.
Absolutely.
Veronica went down, you know, they have already said their replacement. So I think just with that, and then with Los Angeles kind of seemingly finding a groove, and I know some of those games were against bad teams, but, you know, you had the New York Liberty win off of the buzzer beater game where,
Kay Jackson.
Rikio hit that circus shot. I would probably say that Los Angeles, you know, and we said earlier in the season, when you don't have your first pick, when you don't have your pick in the draft, there's no reason to tank. You kind of have to go all in. So I was a little confused to start the season when they were doing so bad, but
yeah,
now they're starting to find it,
because they started off so poorly.
And you know, they made the trade to bring in an all-star in Kelsey Plum. You know, they have Derek Hamby, and they have a solid team on paper. So I would probably say that it seems like, and then on above the Valkyries being Vegas, you know, the last two times the Valkyries played the Aces, I thought the game plan was clear that they were just going to cook if Vegas had two bigs out there, another big out there with Asia, whether it was Kia Stokes or whether it was Megan Gustafson. I bet you, if you look at the numbers, anytime Asia shared the court with either Kia or Megan against the Valkyries, I think we were eating. Like, I think we were playing well. But now, when they trade for an Alyssa Smith, and then they bring in Kirsten Bell into the starting lineup, now you have kind of these bigs that can, like, move. And, like, kind of, you know, with Nalissa, she kind of has an offensive game. And just, like, they're not, like, stuck in the mud, kind of like a Keo or Gustafson was. And I felt like that starting lineup change, moving Jewel to the bench, moving no centers with Asia that are starting. Asia's now the center, but you also brought in bigger players to surround her that aren't, you know, prototypical fives that are just going to be stuck in the mud against like a fast team. And I feel like that has basically, and now I feel like the Valkyries will never win. And although this game was relatively close, I kind of feel like the Aces in that lineup change have now found a way like that the Valkyries can't like counter them in a lineup change. So I think I side probably with the latter of, and I know I've went through my changes this season where I wanted them to tank and get an Awa Fam or get an AZ FUD. And then they showed this resilience of like, and then I felt like, hey, there was a chance maybe they can get to six and avoid New York, Minnesota in that first three game series. But you know, you ask Natalie, she says, give me New York and Minnesota. I want to play anyone.
Right.
But you know, I just think this Kayla thing is going to hurt a lot more. And I think it's impacting a lot of players where, you know, you see like a Kate Martin, I feel like she's kind of hit a little bit of a downward trajectory in recent games. And that maybe that could be in part to her having to, you know, play more and take more responsibility maybe on defense, or she doesn't have as much of open looks on offense that she used to be getting when, you know, it's not like Kayla was an offensive threat per se, but she would get down the lane, which creates opportunity for an open player. So
I think everybody's been affected by her loss though, because she's not a true number one, but she could get a shot. Like if they were at the end of the shot clock, they would just give her the ball and she would try and create something. And in many cases, she would actually be able to make that shot. But you look at Veronica Burton's offensive numbers post injury, they're down. Mm-hmm. And you know, even, when Chechi plays, it's almost like, she has to create her own space to actually get a shot off. And sometimes she's very skilled in that. You'll see the step back, but she's also tall, so she can actually create shots maybe where they don't exist. But it does seem like there's just less opportunity because the defense doesn't have to worry about Kayla, and thus they can, you know, they can worry about other folks. And I think that's part of the problem. So one thing that's interesting, you talked about Las Vegas and their changes. I think they're the third worst team for the Valkyries to play now. Like if you were to think about like who are the worst matchups, obviously Minnesota's number one.
Yeah.
And then probably New York, especially yep. with Miesman. I think Vegas is number three, and probably for everything you said, but I think Asia like licks her chops when she sees and then she sees the Valkyries on the schedule. She was so great. It's, you know, the last game, you know, they lost back-to-back games against Vegas. The first game, they weren't really in it. That was in Las Vegas. The second game, they were in it, but there was a little bit of a distance in the second half. And there was some interesting kind of foul calls. So Valky Hoop said, we got to talk about that flagrant on Veronica Burton and that push on Carla, the push out of bounds. So Veronica Burton gets called for a flagrant when she was like trying to Euro and like bring the ball through to the other side. I guess her elbow. Who did she hit in the face? Was it?
I think it was Asia.
No, I think it was.
No, it was Chelsea. It was Chelsea.
Yes, Chelsea Gray. And then Carla rubs off of a screen that wasn't really a screen, which is probably part of the problem. And she just gets blasted out of bounds. And so they changed that one. So you could tell Natalie's frustrated in the foul calls. She mentioned late in the game that, you know, it's like, she's like, look, we played really good defense. We held them to, I think it was like under 20% shooting or something in the fourth quarter. But then she's like, then they get to the free throw line as much as they do. And then you see us not get to the free throw line. And there's some really hard fouls that don't get called. So she seemed to be pretty frustrated about that. But I think Vegas is one of the worst matchups for them now. I think they would rather play. And we're not talking about playoffs, obviously. If they're going to play anybody in the playoffs, it's going to be one of those top two teams. Unless Phoenix can jump New York, but then the Valkyries would have to jump into the seventh slot, which probably is less likely. But if you look at it, you'd rather play Phoenix, Atlanta, Indiana, maybe. And
The reason I stop you at Phoenix is just because we've only seen them twice and we've never seen them at full strength. I don't think we've ever played them when they've had Kalia Copper, who's their second best player. I think the last time we played them, it was Alyssa Thomas and Dawana Bonner that played really well. No Satu Sabli, no Kalia Copper. I felt that in that first game, that feels forever ago now, though, when Steph Talbot makes two terrible turnovers in the out-of-bounds plays. I felt like that was a winnable game, but I guess what I'm saying is, yeah, I'd side with you in theory of Phoenix, but I also would say we haven't seen them in full strength like we have I think every other team, like even the Atlanta game when we beat them, sure, it was without Ryan Howard. Yeah, we didn't have Kayla, but the first game they had full strength and mm-hmm. we still almost beat. I still felt like that could have been a game had a few things gone a different way.
You know who they really want to play is Indiana. We got Indiana's number.
Yeah,
we
would they have them. Indiana's number.
So I'm going to get to a question here. Rob asked, what is Mo Billings' timeline? I read something this morning that said 3 weeks.
Yeah, I read 3 weeks when she went down. So
which is tough because that's you're getting right to the end of the season about. Which then somebody also said, it was actually also Rob. He said he hopes that they keep Kayla Charles. I don't imagine that that happens just because of the players that they will get coming in next year. But I think she's come in and played very well. And there was another piece that I read today about how it is really a WNBA thing because of the hardship contract. She just comes in. She immediately has to jump into the rotation and knowing that more than likely she's not in their plan. So she's literally playing for the opportunity to showcase herself for somebody else's roster. Maybe one of those expansion teams that are coming in. So it's pretty interesting, but it is also like a WNBA thing. You know, it's a,
I will say thing. I do, just based off what we'd seen with these transactions where it feels like a shock, but then you think about it and it's like, okay, I guess that made sense, you know, with the Cheyenne Sellers thing in the beginning that was mm-hmm. like, whoa. And then of course the Julie Van Loo thing that we were like pretty shocked about as well. And then we ended up looking at it and we're like, okay, maybe. I wonder if there is a chance that she stays on this roster. And, you know, I felt like the obvious omission from yesterday's playing time was Leticia Mihir.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not getting, I don't know if she logged any minutes, but I didn't see her out there and I felt like she probably could have helped. You know, when you think about it, now that they brought in Rupaire and cut Talbot because of it, you now have four centers on the roster in Temi, Rupaire, Monique, and Amihir. So I guess I wouldn't be that surprised if Amihir, was cut for them to keep Kyla or Kayla. I haven't sat down to figure out how her name's pronounced yet, unfortunately, but, or maybe it's Caitlin Chen, but I would say that the guard position kind of feels more of a necessity right now than the center position. So
at Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
So here's a question. We know, we hope that Eustay is on the roster next year. They also have the person who tore their Achilles, Conde?
Maria Conde.
She will possibly be on the roster next year. Your number one pick will probably be on the roster next year, unless they
barring
go the international route.
Unless they go double Eustay.
So I'm thinking, you know, Kate Martin and some of these fringe players, Amihir, Caitlin Chen, I think those players could be on the bubble for the roster. So let alone Charles, you're talking about people who have logged real minutes for this team. Because if you're adding three players next year, let's just say you are, you're going to lose a couple in the expansion draft more than likely, at least one. Unless there are added roster spots next year because of collective bargaining and all that stuff, I just don't, I'm kind of wondering if we're going to see, you know, three or four or five players who are on this year's team on next year's roster. And as well as with all of the free agency in the league as well, because I think they only have the rights of Kate and Carla for next year at this moment, who are on the roster right now.
Yeah. And we'll probably do like a, I'm sure we'll do maybe try to get Richard Cohen on for some expansion draft stuff later in the year, because December is the date, I'm assuming, or November or December is the date for two expansion teams to do their draft. And like last year, we didn't have the rules, it feels like, until very close to leading up to the draft. So last year, what was it? You protect six.
Yeah.
And then the Valkyries were only able to select one unprotected free agent, and that ended up being Monique Billings.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is the rule this year? Everyone's an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm wondering if maybe because it's two teams, they'll add another protection so you could do seven. Like, I'm really not sure what to expect, but I will say that I feel like Natalie's just completely operating as if next year doesn't exist and it's just this year. But I know that's Ohema's job to think of in the future. So, I do think that if I go down the list, like, I would want to keep Burton, Thornton, Janelle, Chechi.
You're going to keep Chechi for just not being able to guard anybody? I mean, she shoots the lights
out. Okay, in terms of like priority who to keep, I'd say Janelle number one, Yuste number two, Carla number three, Kayla number four, Rupert number five, Veronica number six. Does that sound right? I think I'd go in that direction of prioritizing who to protect in the draft. And if it's Temi. Seven, then I don't know. I'd maybe go Chechi over Temi. Hmm. Just because I think we're gonna see a lot of good Chechi stuff to end the season. Like, I'm starting to be more. In Minnesota, I was like, oh, just catch and shoot 3-point shooter. Then I watched her in Eurobasket, and then I'm starting to see some of that stuff implement into this season, where there is a little bit of the self creation, whether that's slow and whether the ball goes in. Like, I think there's going to be some stuff that we see. You know, the game winner against Atlanta, like, that was, you know, pretty much self creation. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be it right now. I think, of course, the Chechi spot is subject to change for me, but I'd say I'd be pretty confident in saying Janelle should be number one, and then I'd say you stay over Carla for number two, and then Carla number three. Just in terms of prioritizing. Anyway, we don't have to worry about this for a while now.
Yeah, something to think about. So,
yeah, I guess anything after that seven, you know, I Valkyrie fans will be sad, but I don't think Kate Martin's probably just going to be the greatest expansion draft selection of all time. She might get selected again.
Yeah.
Because, like, oh, we get that Kate Martin market, the CC Iowa. Like, we get those fans, and that'll be good to market around. She gets selected again to Toronto or Portland. Wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad a little bit because her minutes are yo-yoed just about more than anybody's. But again, there's an athleticism part of it that she struggles with. And a lot of her shots that she does make, they are really hard shots because she's contested on just about everything. So what you said about Kayla at the beginning of this show, I think, was right on the money. And it made you think that if the Valkyries were interested in really, really making the playoff run,
something would happen.
They would have traded for someone at the deadline. What were the rumors? Was there any rumors around the Valkyries? This is not like the NBA where there's so many rumors about everybody with agents leaking stuff all over the place. But I didn't really hear a ton. The deadline seemed pretty quiet to me, unless there was something happened that I didn't see. But it didn't even seem like there was any buzz as far as something around the Valkyries.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it changes in the CBA, but I hope we don't have a hard cap because that makes not fun deadline. I hope, you know, they change that because it was three trades, and the only trade that was on deadline day was the Aaliyah Edwards one, and that was the only rumor that I saw the Valkyries in. I think it was the Valkyries and the Connecticut Sun that were interested in Aaliyah Edwards. The Connecticut Sun end up with her, trade JC Sheldon to Washington. And the other two was Washington trading Brittany Sykes to Seattle for that draft pick. And then
they've fallen a little bit too, Washington. They've fallen even behind the Valkyries.
Yeah, I wouldn't be worried about them in terms of if you're trying to compete for the playoffs. I do think that they've trading Brittany Sykes was a clear, like, okay, we're just gonna focus around Sonia and Kiki and what we got, and, you know, get ready for the draft.
Sonia is such a baller.
She's so good. Oh, I was, like, very impressed watching that game. But And then it was Dallas, I think, making a great trade and getting Diamond Miller and trading DeJounay Carrington. So that was it. And those were the three. And then that DeJounay thing felt like it already happened a week ago.
Yeah, it totally.
So, yeah, it's just tough to try to make the salaries work. I think Ben Pickman was saying on the podcast that Seattle had like $231 to work with in terms of like open cap space.
It's crazy.
Not $231,000, $231. So, you know, the Valkyries had the cap space. They could have made moves. I don't know their cap space figure anymore after Rupert came in, but I remember they had like a full salary spot, like a full max salary spot still open. They could have gotten Mesa in. Mm-hmm. So I imagine they could have sent out like small salary and brought in big salary if they wanted to. Maybe that comes with adding the pick. I wouldn't have been too high on adding the pick, even though it might not be that great, but I just don't know what's going to happen next year. I feel like picks are valuable. Everyone's a free agent.
Yeah. So they have this big game. It you know, it's there's still 15 games left, but big game in this picture of, you know, because if you look at the way that the standings are currently, Fever 17 and 13, Storm 16 and 14, Aces 16 and 14, Valkyries 14 and 15, Sparks 13 and 15, Mystics 13 and 16. So there's a, you know, there's a cluster there, and the Sparks seem like one of the scarier teams right now. So like you said, you'd kind of expect them to make that leap. But as a Valkyries fan, I feel like we've played them really well. I was kind of trying to figure out why they all of a sudden are playing better than they had in the past. I think a lot of it is just kind of like this synergy, and they've been playing together for a while. Rickea Jackson has absolutely stepped up from a scoring standpoint. Kelsey Plum is playing like the all-star that she is, and they just recently got Cam Brink back. D'Erica Hamby is playing well, but it's almost like just this like idea of, we put this team together on paper, we hoped that it was going to work out. Early returns on it weren't great, but now they're starting to play so well together. Some of these wins have not been over the best teams. Like they beat the Sun and the Mystics out of those last 10 games. Four of those have been against the Sun and the Mystics, and they won all four of them. But, you know, they also beat the Storm. They also beat the Fever. So they also beat the Liberty, the game that you mentioned where she hit the game winner. So they are beating good teams as well. The opener was against the Sparks. And when we watched that game, we're like, oh, they got a chance to win this game, even though the Sparks handled them decently in the second half. But then they beat the Sparks when the Sparks were here. So I think this is going to be a really competitive game. While I'm with you that the Sparks are the better team more than likely just because they've gelled and we lost our best player, I think the Valkyries are going to compete. Being at home is good as well, though they did lose to Vegas at home. I thought being at home maybe will kind of get them a little bit over the hump. But I don't know. I feel like they're going to compete. I feel like they're going to play close.
And if
they win this game, and you can be, what would they be? They would be 16 and 15 or 15 and 15, and the Sparks would be 13 and 16. You know, you've created a little bit of distance there. So
yeah, you have.
But just outlook wise, what have you seen from the Sparks that has sort of enabled this run for them?
Before I get into that, I just did a quick look, and this is all manual counting while you were talking, but the Valkyries, I believe, have 15 games left, and out of the 15 games, they play current playoff teams 8 times.
Yeah, tough.
And I looked at the Sparks schedule, they have 16 games left, and out of the current playoff teams, not including the Valkyries, they play 9 playoff teams out of the 16 games.
So both tough schedules coming up.
So this game really does mean a lot in terms of, you know, playoff seeding. You get that head to head win that changes a lot. So I mean,
do they play each other? They play each other again after this.
I think this is the last meeting.
Okay,
because this would be number 4. This would be number 4 because they had that OT game in Los Angeles for game 3. Game 1 was they beat us in the home opener. Game two was we blew them out in LA, right? Mm-hmm. Game three was the overtime game in LA that we won. And then game four is this upcoming one. So that's four times. But I mean, I'm with you in terms of just kind of, I guess, what the Sparks have found with Rekia and with Cam coming back. Like, just to me, it always made sense that they were like solid on paper with KP, with De'Erica, Azare Stevens playing well. Just like you bring Cam back, and I feel like that team just makes a whole lot more sense than it already did. But I know that they weren't playing well, so you know, I just think that it's probably just more time for the first year head coach to figure it out. You know, for a first year new iteration of the team to figure it out. You could basically say Cam Brink's still a rookie, like. I don't have much more to say on it, but that, so I will be, you know, keeping an eye on that. That's probably going to be the main thing that Valkyries fans are keeping an eye on. I just don't see any other team below them passing them except for potentially Los Angeles.
And you know who they get to see again? Julie Van Loo.
Oh yeah.
The revenge game. I think she will. I think the Valkyries fans really liked her.
I know she was only on this team for like 3 months, but first team, you know, first time.
Yeah, of course.
Fun game against the Sparks in the first one.
So let's do a little bit of an around the WNBA segment here. I just like talking about the other teams because, you know, unlike the NBA, you don't have to pay attention to as many teams in the positioning. It's actually more interesting when you don't have as many teams. So I was looking at some of the injuries, and now thankfully for Minnesota, because Nafisa Collier is out for a little bit, but they are so far ahead of everybody else that it's not even going to matter. Like, they're going to run away with this thing.
Yeah,
they're going to be the number one team in the league. They're going to have all of the things that you get by having the top record, but there's a nice little 2-3-4-5 mix there, and depending on, you know, the other two teams below there, like, they're still with 15 games, there could be a lot of movement. How do you think the rest of those standings are going to shake just from seeing the teams as you've seen them? Because Indiana is playing so well and Caitlin's not even back yet.
Yeah, I mean, just echoing what you say, like, if it feels like, I think Zena said this too, this kind of feels like the Western Conference and the NBA, where everything's separated within like five games from like 3 to like 12 or 10. Because 2 through 4 is separated by one game, New York, Atlanta, Phoenix, separated by one game. And then 5 through Golden State at 8 is separated by, you know, 2.5, like, so it is like all still really close with about 15 to 16 games left.
Which is why, man, the trade deadline thing kind of sucked, right? Because if you are trying to lock in that third spot and you make a big trade, like in the NBA, that's what would have happened. Like, the Warriors get Jimmy Butler so that they can, you know, make sure that they that they're secure in their positioning, or other teams, you know, grabbing a guy to try and cement their spot and to make a run. That's why I think the trade deadline was kind of disappointing, because I was like, oh, I want to see who really wants it, who's really going for it. And the top two teams are the one that added the, you know, the two top players.
New York got lucky.
is it luck, or was that the only team she was going to play for?
Probably the only team, and maybe if we kept Van Loo, then she would have, then Kayla didn't go down, maybe, but yeah, probably just them.
How has she fit in so far? Have you seen any of that?
I haven't seen it. Just like, I have had to, I know the audience doesn't know this because I was just texting you about this, but I got back from Wyoming on Sunday, and within the past 4 days, I've just been busy catching up with work. So it was only yesterday that I was able to just binge watch. I was like binge watching a season of television. It was just like five Valkyries games. Like, that Chicago game was ugly. That was tough to watch. And then of course the Aces game, I kind of knew the result, so maybe skimming through a little quicker. But so I haven't gotten to watch
Angel Reese in that game, which was not I mean, not great for her because she's a little bit banged up. But is she out?
I don't know how long she's out, but no Atkins either. I don't know how long Atkins is out, but it was just like
no timetable for Angel Reese, as far as I know.
And of course, the Valkyries are missing a ton of players too, not just Kayla, like Monique and Chechi, and there was one more. But anyways,
Tip was out.
A
few games, yeah.
Yeah, Tip was out. So, yeah, I haven't been able to watch as much. Just been so worried about catching up with our own team. I haven't been able to see across the league as much. But I just got to assume what I watched in Eurobasket and what I've heard about Misamin is that she fits in like perfectly, especially with Brianna Stewart going out. Like, maybe that would have been more difficult to fit in with Brianna there because he just had, you know, kind of redundancy in like size and position. But who cares? You know, that's apparently one of the best players. So she's been able to just probably fit in pretty easily with Brianna out.
So if you were to make a prediction, how do you think that like top five shakes out?
I think one and two stay the same. Number three, I don't know, what is Ryan Howard back? I don't know what her timetable is, but I could see Phoenix. I just feel like Alyssa Thomas is going on like just a crazy like run that maybe isn't getting talked about enough, that she's playing like the third best player in the league and, you know, arguably the second best player. So I could see Phoenix maybe, you know, it's tied right now, so it's not a crazy thing to say that Phoenix ends up as three. But of course, you know, you're waiting for the sleeping giant and Caitlin Clark to return from Indiana and see what that looks like, because Ari McDonald has been awesome in her absence. And, you know, you just think that you add Caitlin and everything goes well. I know it doesn't always work like that. I know you need, you know, they've been playing probably a different style of basketball without the girl who shoots from 45 feet or whatever the hell she shoots from. I'm sure it's a different style that gets played without her. But you really hope that she puts it together, because that would make for a very fun playoff run. Because you're telling me Vegas is seven and they get to see New York at two for the third time they've seen each other in the playoffs since I've been watching closely. So, you know, of course, I think New York would win that matchup, but I think Vegas has kind of found something with this five, and maybe they jump Seattle, but Seattle also added. So I don't really have like a I can't make any of these predictions in confidence, just because everything's so tight and everyone's adding, and I haven't seen the new machinations with Brittany Sykes in Seattle, or, you know, a couple more games in this Vegas unit where Jewel's off the bench. But I think what I'm most interested in seeing is Caitlin coming back to Indiana and how that affects the lineup, and if they, you know, just look like what we thought they'd look like. I think we all thought like, hey, they'll probably be top three, and, you know, with her injury and just inconsistency and people being available and the whole Dawana Bonner thing, like that probably stunted some of that. But I just want to see what it looks like. And I don't know. I think her timetable, what, like the 12th of August or something, there's a possibility she comes back. So that's kind of what I'm most interested in terms of, I'm pretty confident one and two stay the same. They've got to. I know two's closer than to three, but I think they'll be fine.
All right, let's end this, and I'm interested in the folks in the chat as well, what they think as far as if the Valkyries are to make a late season run here. I think somebody is going to have to catch fire offensively. Like this kind of offense, depending on who plays well every other game, it's just so hard because they don't have a dependable person who they go like, okay, we need a bucket, you go. Like, there's nobody who kind of takes on that role. If you were to make a guess as to who is, like, the leading scorer down the stretch, who's their ace bucket getter, who do you think that would be?
Tip? Like, isn't it already?
I mean, maybe, but she's, like, 12 points, 14 points. Like, she's not, yeah. You know.
I will say the three-point shooting has felt like, it felt like she was a guaranteed three-pointers every game, and I think in the past three or four games it hasn't been that or hasn't felt that, and I know she's also been injured, so I think another one could
she
be
also
Chechi.
Doesn't shoot them very often, right? Like she's more going to the hole than like she uses that as her, if she can't get to the hole and they give her space, then she shoots it.
Yeah, I think Chechi's up there. I think, what about Rupert? Like, can she get back into the starting lineup? I feel like her in the starting lineup was just like, she's kind of like a weird, like, she's kind of has to guard fives, but maybe she's not the best defender of fives. Like, I think what's kind of stunting her or stopping her from the minutes is probably on the defensive end, because on the offensive end, like, she feels like she's feel like you feel so comfortable when she shoots a 3-point shot. At least I do when Ileana Rupaire shoots a 3-point shot. So maybe it's Rupaire with some off the bench, whether it's off the bench or starting scoring output, because she kind of came in firing offensively. But I would probably lean in the tip Zanda Lassini direction for for scoring. Like there's something with Janelle where like I know she's talented, and I know Conrado was talking about her in the last show of like he's high on her as well, and but there's just something with like sometimes she takes those shots and I'm like, that was a really bad stinking shot that you just took.
It's interesting, like when she sets up to shoot a jumper, sometimes it seems like she's off balanced even shooting like a normal jumper. Like I don't know if her momentum is going one way or the other. By the way, Rob in the chat says Tip or Janelle, and Valky Hoops also said Tip. I mean, I think if you're talking about veteran presence and maybe the ability to understand what it's like late in games, this late in the season, when everyone's tired, everyone's hurt, you know, I think that is a good person. Her energy can be very good, and sometimes it can be very bad, especially if she doesn't get the call. Because there will be moments when she goes for a layup, doesn't get the call, and you can tell she's very mad, and she's, you know, yelling at the ref, and the other team's going down 5-on-4, you know, for a layup. So, I think there's got to be some sort of like leadership aspect to this. It's like, okay, like I understand how this thing works late in the season, and I'm gonna change it up, and I'm gonna make sure that ball's in my hands, and you know we're gonna do something good. You know, that person sometimes I feel like, and I think Natalie said this yesterday, which is why did Carla play over Veronica so much late in yesterday's game? Like, I don't think Veronica played in the fourth quarter, and it was because she was looking for the ability to drive and to get 2-pointers and easier shots and layups, rather than, you know, what Veronica kind of does, which is she tries to create some space and she's running the play, and then maybe she'll take a step back three. But I don't know, maybe Veronica was so frustrated with that call that she didn't play as much late. But, you know, there are some interesting lineups, and when people get hot, you go like, oh, that looks like it's working, and let's keep it going. And then somebody throws a ball away by making a one-handed pass, and it's back to like, oh man. Okay. So I think that was my main thought, was who can we look to? I like the Tip call. I think Janelle's jumper is a little bit too inconsistent to be that dependable scorer. I wonder if she should play a little bit more in the post a little bit to take advantage of that, but she doesn't look super comfortable down there. Okay, here's a wild card. Now I think
Carla.
No. There has to be a lot of things happening, which I think more so mean the offense needs to be running very well. If we could just get Rupaire some open shots, her shot is money. Like that stretch five, when that thing works, it really works. When they get slowed down, when they can't get stops, when the other team kind of takes them down low, it doesn't work as well. But I feel like when she's able to take open shots and shoot them, the offense works really well. So that would be a little bit of a wild card. But she doesn't get the ball enough to really be that person or make that
difference. They're not used to the pick and pop. Like the guards are like not used to swinging the ball over their head, and they do it. They do it, but you could tell like they come off the pick, and you know they're just so used to the Temi and me here, Monique. Oh, pick and roll. You're just gonna be right there on the roll. But with Ileana just like staying back in the 3-point line, like there is opportunity to hit her more than they do. So I'm with you. I feel confident when she shoots that ball.
All right. So big week. I think it's the Sparks, and then it's Connecticut, right? Those are the next two games.
Yeah. And I might try to go to that Sparks game. We'll see. They're doing like a slam night. I don't know if you've seen that. It kind of sounds, I actually don't really know what to expect, but it sounds like you know, some type of like activation stuff, which is reminiscent of what they do at the WNBA Live during All-Star Weekend, where it sounds like a lot of brand activation stuff. And it sounds like they have a Slam inspired t-shirt for every single player on the roster, probably except for Charles, because she's brand new. But yeah, I'm going to try to go because I would want to get like a Janelle t-shirt. If they did a Natalie Nicasse t-shirt, I would get that one. But yeah, I didn't see that one advertised. But yeah, Janelle or
that's
Carla.
Awesome. All right. So glad to have you back. Glad we're able to do this. And we'll figure out what the next episode is going to be like. We'll check schedules and such. But, you know, I do hope that they are competitive and they're fighting for that eighth spot. Because I think it'll be really fun, especially for this show. And you know what my dream is? Not my dream, but what I would like to do is if they do make the playoffs, is the first series still three games or is it five games?
Three. But they do get a home game.
But they will get a home game for sure.
And it's still in talks of, I don't know if it's confirmed if they're going to play at Chase or Oracle.
That's rough. But what I would like to do is if we are not at the game, I would like to watch the game live and maybe just live stream like the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter to lead into a podcast. I think that would be really fun. Like if people are watching on television and they just want to jump in the stream and we're just like all watching the end of the game together and then we lead into a show. I think that would be really cool for the playoffs.
We should definitely try to go to the game.
It'd be awesome to go for sure.
Maybe we could do it on the road game. Yeah, totally.
All right. Thanks to everybody who was in the chat. Thanks to everybody listening on the podcast feed, watching us on YouTube. That is it from here. So for Bri, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.